Because it tells us that the Christian church is not just a building. The Christian church is not just people. The Christian church is not even doctrines and theology. The church, says the Apostle Paul, is a living organism. It is just like a human body. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul talks about the church, and he talks about spiritual gifts. These gifts, which are varied in scope, activity, and visibility in the church, are given to all believers by God through the power of the Holy Spirit. And as with all gifts, we don't get to pick them. You know the joy of having someone say, "So what do you want for your birthday?" And you have to go that, okay? Gifts that are truly gifts, we don't pick out. God gives these gifts. God assigns these gifts. God determines how, where, and when they are to be properly used. But they have to be properly used. The Apostle Paul gives us this great presentation of what the church is. He writes, "For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one, so it is with Christ. For in the one Spirit we have all been baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, we were all made to drink of the one Spirit. The church is bound together by the power, the presence, and the love of the Holy Spirit. And through baptism, we all become part of the church, even though we are all different. Through baptism at our 10:30 service, Nicholas joins this living body we call the body of Christ. Baptism is that important to us as Christians in binding us together." Then Paul goes on in his words to remind us that it's not all about me. He says that a great deal. Jesus says that a great deal. They did not focus on the me. They focused always on community, writes Paul. "Indeed, the body does not consist of one member, but of many." We need to know and remember as Christians that we are not in this Jesus thing all alone. Our faith is not Jesus and me walking hand in hand on our way to heaven. That's not what it's all about. Paul says we are a community, and we must always live and breathe and function as a community, and not one part of this community is better than any other in God's eyes. Now, we need to hear that again and again because we don't always tend to operate with that understanding. We love to assess worth and value all the time. Before the Brewers started the National League Championship Series, they had to cut their roster from 40 to 25. 25, they said, were good enough to be in the National League Championship Series, although after yesterday, I think we can get rid of a couple of relievers. But that's the kind of decisions we have to make. We judge by position, by power, by salary, by general worth and importance. That's how we are so used to seeing things in our world. But that's not how God operates. All of us are important in God's eyes. And when we forget that, then we make some big mistakes that harm us and others, and in the church, that harm the church. Says Paul again, "If the foot were to say, 'Because I am not a hand, I don't belong to the body,' that would not make it any less part of the body." Paul reminds us that just as our bodies have parts and organs that do different things, that function in different ways, but do so that the whole body is healthy, so God gives us in the church all these different gifts, skills, abilities, and talents for the work of the whole church, for the life of the whole church. Again, writes Paul, "If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole body were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? Our hair may be lovely, and we might have the prettiest baby blues in the history of the world, but if our body were just hair or blue eyes, it would not be much of a body. And so it is in the church," says the Apostle Paul. "If we had a choir that was filled with voices that made angels blush, but that's all we had in our church, you know what? We would have beautiful, beautiful music. Zach and Aaron would be thrilled, but who'd teach Sunday school? Who'd visit the sick? Who'd preach the word? Who'd fix the leaky faucets? Who would serve meals to those in need? Who would pray for those who are going through difficult times? Who would care for the homeless through Family Promise?" Now, the Apostle Paul was a pretty smart guy. And the Corinthian Christians were lucky to have him as their apostle, and we are lucky to have him as well. And Paul calls us to keep our minds and our priorities straight and clear when it comes to being the church. Now, we love to hold up our own self-perceived worth and importance, that we are central to all. I loved my sabbatical this summer. It was wonderful, but the church didn't fall apart without me. You know, it all did just fine without me here. We're not indispensable. We need to know that. Our brains and our minds, they work that way, but they don't always work properly. Again, Paul says, the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. We cannot say that. Every part of the body is important, even the parts that might seem small and insignificant. They are important. A couple of years ago, I was going to go hunting with my best friend, Rick. And the afternoon before I left, walking through the living room, I caught my pinky toe on the leg of the ottoman. Now, our pinky toes are really, really small when compared to the rest of our bodies. And I never think about my pinky toe. But you know what? When your pinky toe is sticking out this way and the rest of them are going this way, you suddenly think about your pinky toe. And everything else in your body is affected, especially if you need to be walking through the woods for the next couple of days. Every part of our body is important, and Paul reminds us that every part of the church is important. Every gift that those in the church, the body of Christ, have is important to the whole church. And that's why it's so sad when someone cuts themselves off from the church. When someone gets mad or goes away or gets frustrated and they go off and leave. Now today, if you do that, you can go to another church, but you couldn't do that in Paul's day. There was no Second Corinthians church down the block from First Corinthians church. There was only one small, tiny Christian community in that city. And if you got mad and you left the church, you know what? There was nowhere for you to go and you would wither and die spiritually. When you cut yourself off from the church, you wither and you die spiritually. And when you cut yourself off from the church, the whole church suffers. That's why Paul wrote, if one member suffers, all suffer together with it. And if one member is honored, all rejoice together with it. We are not here, my friends, to make the church suffer. We are here to build up and support the church, the whole church. And that's why God has made us the church. And that's why God has given each one of us in the church those gifts and those abilities to serve the church. We can never forget that. And there's something else we can never forget, that God has given us another important gift. It's not one of the spiritual gifts Paul mentions here, but God has given us the gift of generosity. Generosity to use for one another and the amazing gifts God has given us in our lives. He's given us the gift, so many gifts, but he's given us specifically today, we talk about the gifts of our money and our possessions, which we are called to use to support and build up the body of Christ. Just as our bodies need food, they need fuel to live and be healthy, so the church. The church needs, among many things, the financial support of its people. Here the church relies upon faith and generosity. At Grace, we don't tell people what to give. At Grace, we don't guilt people into what to give. We hold up the importance. We hold up the importance of the work of the church, and we prayerfully encourage our members, all of them, who are part of the body of Christ, to give generously and lovingly to the work of the church. Now, if you've been around Grace for a few years, you know what has happened in the last 2 years. If you're newer to Grace, you don't know our whole story. But 4.5 years ago, when our Grow in Grace capital campaign began, we were talking about, can we build this new building? The members of Grace voluntarily gave $975,000 for the work of the church to do what we have done. In 2015, the members of this church gave $495,000 during the year for the work of ministry at the church. This year, we are giving $615,000. That is a $120,000 increase in the span of 3 years. That, my friends, is a lot of generosity. And on behalf of the entire church, the body of Christ, I thank you for that generosity. And now, during our annual time of stewardship, We ask that we would all continue to grow in such Christ-filled generosity. Now, we know that just as God gives different gifts to different people, so in the church, we all have different financial status. We don't all have the same amount of money in the bank. We don't all have the same amount in the stock markets. In fact, some of us may be saying right now, stock market? What's the stock market? I don't know what that is. Our wallets are not all the same size. We know that. But there is something we know as well and believe when it comes to generous giving. We heard it again and again during our Grow in Grace Capital Fund appeal. It went something like this. We cannot all give gifts that are equal in size, but we can all give gifts that are equal in sacrifice. Simply put, we can't all write out the same size check, but we can all make our gifts, gifts that show our individual and family commitment and sacrifice to the word and work of Jesus Christ. Putting it another way, God doesn't deserve leftovers. God is the one who has made us. God is the one who has given us everything we have, our time, our talents, our lives, the breath we take, the food we eat, the money we have. And God deserves the best from his people, the body of Christ. During our Grow in Grace Capital Fund appeal, some of you may remember this little prayer we were asked to pray for 3 weeks. Remember these magnets? We still have them all over the church. And on these magnets was a short, little, simple, one-sentence prayer. It said, "Dear Lord, what would you do through me to accomplish your vision for Grace Lutheran Church? What would you do through me? Through me. Through this one individual part of the church we call the body of Christ." My friends, we are all called to do our part to support the work of the church. We are all called to give what we can generously and willingly to support the body of Christ. Some of us can give more than others. We have members who give $10,000, $20,000 a year to the work of the church. That is amazing and wonderful. But we must always remember that we praise God for people who can't give that much money. Because for some people, a generous gift of the year of $5,000 or $2,000 or $1,000 or even $100 a year, for them is a statement of their generosity and their willingness to serve the Lord. They are all equal gifts in God's eyes. And together, our offerings to the church will help us in the work we are called to do. The work of welcoming all people, proclaiming God's saving grace, equipping believers to be servants of Jesus Christ. That's our mission statement. Your offerings help us do that. Your offerings help us to support everything that goes on here at Grace, and it also helps us to pay our church staff for all the work they do on our behalf. And the generous money that you give, it goes to help others. Over $54,000 this year we are giving away to others outside of Grace. And we want to do even more next year. I'm going to talk more next week about the specifics of our plan for 2019. But I just want to let you know this today. Generous giving is greatly appreciated by the Lord and by the body of Christ. And the leadership of this church, we know it's been some big increases in last year. We're looking at a modest 3% increase this year. That comes to about $20,000. Next week, you'll receive a packet here. This week, you got a letter from me that lays out some of the basics. Next week, you can pick up your faith commitment packets after the service. We encourage you to take them home, read them, talk about it, pray about what you will do next year. And then please consider how you will help the rest of your brothers and sisters in the body of Christ to do the work of the gospel. Focus on how your gifts will help those outside of Grace Lutheran Church through the money we give away. In today's gospel, that short little gospel, we have the story of Jesus choosing those 12 of his disciples to be his apostles. It's important for us to remember Jesus did not just have one disciple. You can't do a whole lot with one disciple. Jesus chose 12. You can do a lot more with 12. And Jesus didn't just have 12 disciples. He had a whole group of about 100 people who followed him around. You can do a whole lot more with 100 people. And so it is with the church today. As individuals, we can do some things. We can give some money. We can share some gifts. Few of us can do more. But when all of us use the gifts God has given, those spiritual gifts and those financial gifts, to do the work of the gospel, then then amazing things are done. And in closing, remember this. God is not into the ordinary. God is into the amazing. And we need to be as well. Amen.